Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today, we're doing something a little bit different. This is a pre-recorded episode with Cynthia Sue Larson, back by popular demand. It's an interesting thing. We got all kinds of messages from all over the world asking, hey, would you and Cynthia please do another episode? I guess people like to hear us gab. Cynthia is an amazing human. She's a physicist who talks a lot about reality shifting, about quantum jumping, and about the Mandela effect. She is a highly educated, super interesting human. And today's episode is us talking about all things listed above. This episode goes on for about 2 hours. So we'll share with you what we have in this 45-minute time slot. And for the rest, go to the Cogno Movement channel on YouTube. Look for Liz Larson and Cynthia Larson. All right, here we go. Buckle your seatbelts. Welcome back, Cynthia.
Oh, thank you, Liz. I always love our chats, and it's been quite a while. I don't even know how long it's been, but it's too long if it can't remember.
It has been a really long time. You know, it's interesting because I think about you a lot and think, oh my gosh, Cynthia would be interested in this. I wonder what she thinks about that. But life has been, it seems like it's sped up for us at least. Does it feel like that to you too?
Yeah, there's so much going on and I don't seem to have enough of me to do everything that I used to be able to do. I don't know about you, but it's the same number of tasks, it seems, or although a few more things than usual have been breaking. But aside from that, it's like it doesn't seem, I like to slow things down. And so I'll do that intentionally to try to do that time slow down, but that doesn't even seem to fully command this crazy wave ride that we're on. It's really escalating and speeding up. And they say that happens as you get older for a mathematical reason, because when you're one year is 100% of your life. And when you're 100, 1 year is 1% of your life. So obviously time speeds up, but even given that, it's like, it's crazy. It seems like it's going exponential, not just a regular.
I've never heard that before. That does make sense about the getting older, but everybody seems to be saying that time seems to have sped up so much. It's Monday. And then before you know it, it's Friday. And you're thinking, how did I get here? How is it? Another thing, and I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but having a hard time keeping track of days. My husband keeps saying, I thought it was Wednesday all day, and maybe it's actually Friday, you know, or Monday. Like, just that. Have you had that issue too, or know anybody who has?
Once in a while, but I've had that happen all my life. So yeah. That's been like, oh my gosh, sort of embarrassing to admit, but like, what happened? It doesn't happen that often to me. It's not like a frequent occurrence, but when it happens, I think, oh, here we go. So, there's obviously been some kind of a time glitch. And I just acknowledge that, like, okay, I see you, time glitch. Very cute. I haven't heard too much about that happening lately. But people are so busy. They used to send me their reality shift and Mandela effect stories regularly. And I think they do that when they see that the newsletter seems short on stories. But I think people are so busy that it's happening. Stuff's happening for sure. Really weird stuff, too. Like I got a really interesting email from a woman. I don't know where she's from. By the way, her language and spelling it sounded like the United Kingdom. And she described having been in a car accident involving her mother had picked her up, and then they were going to pick up her daughter, her mother's granddaughter and her daughter. But on the way there, they got hit by a car. And that all, so far, that's all kind of ordinary stuff. It gets weird when comparing her experience of what happened with the mother's experience, because the the mother of the young child, the person who's emailing me, recommended by someone on Reddit, who said, "Oh, send it to Cynthia. She might be able to sort this out for you because it's pretty weird." So what she said, it's very strange. Like, she was observing the scene of the accident, like she was above it, and then she looked. She'd shot footage with her cell phone, herself, bruises and holes in her face and everything, and the whole wreckage scene. But then she. Okay, this is, it gets really weird because she's watching all this and she's kind of in shock. She's yelling for passersby, please call the ambulance, because she's really messed up. But then she's talking to people and they don't see her. And then it's like she got teleported or something. She goes from that scene and then suddenly she's with her mom. They're home. Everything's fine. She doesn't have bruises and holes all over her face. She has the footage of the camera, but she can't understand what happened. And the mother said, "Well, it looked like you." I could see, the mother was driving, and she said to her, "It looked like her daughter, who's writing to me, was at risk of being seriously injured." And so she was just praying, basically, in that moment, like, "I hope my daughter's going to be okay," because she could see they're getting hit from one side and smashed by the other side. It was just a terrifically bad accident. So from the mother's point of view, she was just praying, like, that her daughter's going to be okay. And then, but it's the daughter said, "I think you." Changed everything, Mom, I think. And then she was writing to me saying, "I think I was supposed to die." Now, my take on it is not that she was supposed to die, is that in one timeline, sure, she did. But I've been through that alive again experience where I nearly died, and I know I would have died. But I came to a realization in my life that my life is not my own. It's very important to so many people that I have a right, a reason to be here, a responsibility, and there are things I need to do. And so therefore, that's what pulled me together when I felt betrayed in 2016, which led to pneumonia, which I did die in some reality. And then people wrote to me, "You died." But the version of me that's here, I'm much more courageous. And so if something weird happens, I take it much more likely to take it head on instantly, which I wouldn't have done before. So it changed me. And I was just recommending to her, you know, it's not that you should have died. It's just that you got to witness two different timelines, and they're both completely real. And that sounds crazy unless you've really experienced it. And when you experience it, it's mind-blowing. And yeah. Then you know something huge has happened here.
So there was not a car accident?
There was a car accident.
Just not as damaging as
in one, it's like she was viewing it from above, like she was out of her body. She had so many holes and damage to her face, it looked like she was dead. She thinks she died. I think that's probably true. I'm just telling her, I believe you. I believe the version of you that you experienced. I've been through that too. Wow. You know, but the thing I would recommend is, if this happens to someone, please don't see it as that you were supposed to die. Take it as an opportunity. Which version of you is living? You know, how is this different? For me, I've got more courage, and things that I wouldn't have taken head on, now I will. And that's a big difference. It's very interesting. It doesn't mean that I'm causing fights or picking fights. It just means that if I get pulled into something, I'll take a look at it. And I'll say very quickly, I'll go transparent on the whole thing and say, this is what's happening, which I don't think I would have done. Most versions of me would have been like, well, let's not bring this up. Nobody needs to know about this. And now I have a different stance on it. So it's interesting how it affected me.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting to be fully aware of a secondary timeline or a secondary possibility. I think yes. I've shared with you this story before, but I'll share it again just briefly, because I had that same experience in Santa Monica, but it was with my son. My son was, I'm trying to remember, 9 or 10 years old, I think 9. And we were riding bicycles in Santa Monica, and that's a very popular thing to do. But we were on a busy intersection, and it was confusing about where the bike lane was. Yes. And my son was in front of me, and he went ahead through an intersection and turned, and there was a car coming and turning, like they were on their way. And in my mind, I saw him hit by the car. I saw the aftermath of that all happening. You know, that the car was moving fast enough that he likely would have died from the car, from the impact. Like, I saw all of it happen as though it happened right now. And then in an instant, everything slowed down and the car was no longer moving. It had slammed on its brakes. It had stopped at the light, evidently. You could see just a little shock on her face because it was like she was planning to go and he was right there and nothing happened. But the weird part is we both remember it happening. My son remembers that moment as though it was a time when he exited.
Yes.
Yeah. And so from that point, like he's not really, doesn't like to ride bikes on the road. Right.
Right.
Yeah. But he recalls that as though it happened. You know, we both were and experienced a possibility that didn't occur. So, yeah.
This is definitely one of the more common types of reality shifts that people do experience, but there's some kind of a taboo on talking about it publicly for some reason. I mean, obvious reasons. It's like, well, that's insane. If you were going to be dead, you'd be dead. And so it puts people, the people hearing the story are very uncomfortable. And I think that's why there's this, I don't even think people know they have a taboo against it, but it is the subject that comes up the most when I give talks. People will flood to you know, line up and chat with me one-on-one. And that's when they'll reveal that this is something like that happened to them too. So it's extremely common. I don't know if it's typical, but it does happen quite a lot.
Yeah, but I think most of us just think I made that up. You know, it was a fear I had. I don't think most people are able to recognize the reality of it. So in my case, I felt it. I knew for sure. I knew the sensation of it.
Yes.
It wasn't just I had a thought and a fear as a mom. It played out like the year after it happened was playing out in you know, instantly. And then everything slowed down. There's no reason that any of those cars should have stopped. They all had the right of way. You know, he's a little kid on a bike. Like none of them should have stopped, but they did. So I think it's just second guessing ourselves. I think it's thinking that doesn't seem right. And it's a little scary for some people to know that there are these actual literal possibilities.
Yes.
You know,
and existing. I think when this woman who was recommended on Reddit to write to me, wrote to me, she was, because she was saying, I should have died. There is that, along with the taboo, I think there's another belief that people have, like that's, I'm on the wrong timeline. And I do hear people talk about that. And I would caution against saying that also, and just recognize, okay, you're on an uncomfortable timeline and you remember better ones. So do I.
Yeah.
A lot of us. But that's why we're here to have discernment, to raise the standards, to raise the bar, to help, because we have a vision of something being so much better than it is. That's good, because we're sort of holding the space for it. And to me, when you had your experience in Santa Monica, you said briefly time slowed down. Is that true?
Yeah. As the scene changed, everything slowed. It was just like the Matrix. Everything seemed to slow. The awareness changed of the drivers. The driver who was coming right at him was now not moving anymore. She had stopped at the cross intersection. And, you know, you could see a little shock on her face, like, oh, they're the kid. I might have gone. But she was moving. My son saw her moving. Like, he experienced that fear of being hit, like that imminent, I'm going to be hit. And there weren't people slamming on their brakes. None of it. It all shifted back to she had never crossed the intersection near the crosswalk. So, yeah, it was a very, very strange event. But like it left a definite, even though nothing happened. It definitely left a mark on both of us.
I'd love to know your thoughts and feelings when you were experiencing, you know, the shock of seeing that other reality. Because that seems like that was the first wave of experiences. You're in that timeline. Okay. What were you thinking and feeling? Because that makes
so
a big difference.
So strange. It was resignation.
Right.
I just accepted it. I'm like, okay, everything, you know, in my system calmed. I'm like, okay, here's what is happening and here's what has happened. My system just went completely, what I call neutral, but completely calm. Just completely calm. It was strange. I should have been hysterical, but it seemed inevitable. And, you know, my system just went neutral. And that was long before I had the language of what neutral felt like, long before.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm hearing you say that, and I'm just all lit up, like, oh yeah, nice.
Long before, yeah.
But there is a part of us that can sometimes assist us in these moments and give us an overlay of an emotional construct that would be helpful when we wouldn't normally go there based on our prior patterns at that point, which you had not been training for neutral, so you wouldn't be knowing go to neutral. You wouldn't have it hardwired, neurons that firing together, wiring together. You wouldn't know how powerful that is.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio. Or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
My system kind of does lean that direction anyway in an emergency. I'm great in an emergency because I can slow things down just a little bit to see what to do next.
I like that you said you can slow things down. So you're kind of aware that you have that ability. Yeah.
Yeah. I've always been aware of that, just kind of slowing everything down and being able to see what the elements are and what to do next. But this was that, I suppose, my system kind of went into what to do next mode, but it was such a split second of the fear he's going to get hit, knowing I could see it happening. It was actively happening. Yes. And then slowing everything down, and then it didn't happen, and it looked like it was never going to happen. Everyone had stopped, right? Except for my son and I don't exactly have that mark on our system that nothing happened. It was an everyday thing. We remember, you know, yes. And if I remember correctly, he has said to me one time something about the day I died, and then he corrected, I almost died, but he first said the day I died. So he had a memory of it, you know, as well of what the possibilities were. So super, super interesting sensation. And I think we talked about this off camera a little bit before, but it feels like these incidents are speeding up for people who don't normally have these things. You said, yes. You know, you have that issue of it's the wrong day. I've had that too. My calendar moves. Like for a period of my life, it was like the calendar was in constant motion. I couldn't keep track of it. Some of that has happened again recently, and then strange timeline shifts. But for people who aren't weird like me or you, you know, in general, their everyday people seem like they're experiencing these types of things. Have you noticed that as well?
Yeah, I'm expecting that too. I have like chapter three of my new book about the Mandela effect. There's a reason it's going through weird things that happen in my life. And they may seem weird because time slowed down and both of my daughters fell and they would have both fallen on their heads. And what are the odds both of your children would do that? And I mean, it's very stressful as a mother. And then time slowed down and I was able to catch them both. So these kinds of things. And I include the story about having almost died. And the reason that I had a whole chapter like that, I was wondering back, I was going back and forth. Do I really want to have a whole chapter talking about the weird stuff that I've been through? And I realized, yes, I do, because this is our birthright. And that way for people who now are writing to me saying like, I'm on the wrong timeline. I should have died. My mother saved me. I'm glad she's alive. Anyway, this is an important time for us to know that we all have this opportunity to basically accept these amazing gifts of, you know, wonderful opportunities to transform, you know, ourselves into basically a next level human, so that we're evolving in ways that wouldn't have been thinkable before. But now we can start to see what that looks like. And I am hearing about this when people are writing to me. I think the people who knew that this was happening and are aware of it are, they're now going through this maybe at new levels, but I think it's the most shocking for people who didn't know that this was possible and now they're experiencing it. And, yeah. And this has always been true, but I think it's happening more and there's more of it. And it's very interesting, like really interesting things are happening that kind of show us what it's like to live in two worlds simultaneously and choosing between them in a way, but it's very interesting that we're starting to notice it's happening first. Like, oh, there are these two worlds, these two realities. Yeah. And then noticing that different people are noticing the whole experience differently.
So I heard this recently and I really, I've adopted it because it's so concise that awareness plus choice equals consciousness. And so it makes me think about this. When you have the awareness that there are multiple realities, multiple timelines, multiple possibilities, and then you get to kind of choose them. Like we're talking about in my situation, my system naturally chose, maybe it was no higher part of me, to go flat neutral in that moment, and the whole system neutralized, right? So I wouldn't have said I had choice in that moment, but now I recognize that. I recognize that what it feels like to slow down everything and shift into another timeline. So that awareness plus the choice gives me a higher level of consciousness. You know, I'm more awake, more aware. And I think that's the thing for most people that we would hope they would get is the understanding that it's not just a weird phenomenon. It is something you can utilize in your life and utilize to manage this crazy time, because there's no question we are in a crazy reality right now. I was thinking about hearing the president talk about he's releasing the UFO files. Yes. And you know, I remember thinking that will never ever 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 happen. It'll never happen for all the reasons, right? You're a UFO conspiracist. How do you say that word? You know, you have that sensation it was never going to happen. And then one day it just happens like it was always going to happen. Like it was the most natural, you know, turn of events ever. And that feels to me like a big timeline shift. Now we're in a reality where we're just openly talking about it.
Right. Now, some people were predicting this would happen, and they were predicting the time frame. If you follow Cliff High, he's a software programmer that 20 years ago he created some software. His idea was that you could sell information to investors based on everyone being psychic, and so he had software that would go out to the internet and sort of like spider along, and it's. He doesn't release exactly what his sources are, where he looks, but that's proprietary information, obviously. And I don't think he's selling the system now, and I never purchased it. But what he was doing was looking to see ahead what's going to happen. And he was predicting that there would be a time that someone who I would, I think he said it was Donald Trump, would be on Joe Rogan, and he would say something. He said, when that happens, then it's, he can sort of see the way like timelines are weaving together, mm-hmm. because he's looking in the future with everyone being psychic, and he's noticing that once that happens, the disclosure will occur. And he's also looking at UFOs being a big part of the conversation in the internet as it is. And he was saying this years and years ago, like he was predicting it actually. And so I'm just saying, like, and the whole premise is everyone is psychic. Now that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I think that's actually true. And so if you recognize, like, we all know that there will be disclosure, but what kind of disclosure? And people like Stephen Greer are very concerned that it won't be correct disclosure. It'll be manipulated disclosure.
And
Stephen Greer says, what about these 700 whistleblowers that would love to step forward, but they'd like to not lose their pension and not lose their lives? Or, you know, they want to be safe in the process of stepping forward. So that is actually part of disclosure. So when we say disclosure, what kind of disclosure are we talking about?
Yeah.
And it might end up being very much like the Epstein files, which is just a data dump. From an IT, in IT, we'd call that a data dump, which is, it's not pleasant. It's just, it's not exactly as bad as a real data dump. A real data dump is bits and bytes, just tons of them just dumped on you. I worked in the banking industry and it was a mess. If you got a data dump, that's the system telling you, like, it's breaking down and here, take a look at this. And it's like, oh my God.
No.
It's like such a mess. And I think that's kind of what happened with the Epstein files. And I think it'll, the potential for it to be much more so with the UFO disclosure is definitely there. So I don't, are we going to see the stuff that we really want to see, the free energy that we know exists? Probably not. Maybe, but I doubt it. What about, you know, because we know that there's been, I studied physics, and we know that physics has been kept dumbed down for at least 80 to 100 years, that some of the physics, the plasma physics, the physics that has to do with the cosmos actually being an open system, not a closed system. We know these things logically. You can think about it and realize, oh, my human body is open system, not closed. So therefore, let's look at the universe. What would it logically be? We've closed it. And so we have all these crazy formulas that kind of work for classical physics, sort of. But if you really take it to the limit, in an open universe where we live in a very special part of it, then you can actually look at things like, you know, sub-quantum physics, which is very interesting. So will that be released? I don't think so.
Well,
I think they're gonna, because they're going to say that's part of national security and nobody needs to know.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like we're standing at a point in history or in the timelines where there's probably 40 different directions this could go,
right.
depending on what happens next. So if all of a sudden one day we woke up and there's all of these ships in the sky, you know, I like to imagine they're these beautiful iridescent things. They're just very beautiful. That would be my favorite. But they're all there and it becomes extraordinarily obvious to all of us what they are, that they're running on systems that aren't, physics don't allow for, that there are people who've traveled a million miles from another place, you know, if they say another place in the universe, so that changes our understanding of physics. And then immediately that update would have to happen.
Even if that doesn't happen, that update has to happen anyway. I know it's contrary to, I'm saying the files are not released in the way that the form that we are expecting. Guess what? That doesn't matter. I'll tell you why that doesn't matter. Because every time, like Charles Darwin comes forward with this theory of evolution, there's another person also hypothesizing the same thing. Now we've seen this with the free energy and anti-gravity. We've seen inventors come forward with these sorts of inventions. Sometimes they're killed or dealt with. They vanish. But what happens when that whack-a-mole game gets out of control and too many people, too many hundreds of thousands of people are creating free energy devices in their backyard because everybody knows how to do it? That's another way.
100%, yeah.
So it's a bypass of, because the controlled disclosure is what people like Stephen Greer are concerned about. They're saying, like, you know, if you're going to do a controlled disclosure, I don't think he uses that term, but he would want it to include protection for the whistleblowers in this nice little procedure going forward. But when you and I both know these timelines exist, and we know that inspiration comes directly through, and we know that that actually can happen at a level that can challenge the powers that be, just by based on what we're seeing, you know, that these ideas are coming forth faster and thicker. And pretty soon it can be unstoppable. And so even though the governments are trying to tamp this down and say national security, there can be a point where it becomes overridden just with consciousness itself coming forth.
Well, I think it's almost like the Epstein files. All of this is being revealed, and there's things being revealed about people we would never dream that would be in there. And all of the things that in like 2020, I think that, I don't know if it was a site that, or Reddit QAnon, do you remember that? I never knew where that was found, but they were talking about a lot of the things that happened to be in the Epstein files. And I just overheard someone saying recently, oh, I have to apologize. I guess they were right.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
During that time, they were crazy conspiracy theorists. These were insane ideas about all the things that were happening. And now it's kind of like, oh yeah, 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 of course that was happening. No big deal. Like, we knew about it. You know, it becomes very normal very quickly. And I think that's one of the possibilities that could happen with the UFO disclosure as well. It could be just a bunch of redacted crap, or if some little opening happens, it could be that, oh yes, we've known about this forever. Oh yes, of course we have this free energy. We've been working on it. It's coming online in about 5 minutes. Don't be mad at us. It's happening. We just didn't tell you. You know, it could become very normal very quickly.
Well, I think what we're really hitting is we're leaving the information age, and we have the potential, if we choose it, to become wise. It's much more than just getting a data dump and realizing, yeah, like, because my name shows up in the Epstein files. And
but if you use,
it was shocking. Someone wrote to me twice and I'm like, what? So then I took a moment and looked into it, and I was just the recipient on an email conversation list, which was part of Foundations of Mind that I was coordinating at that time. And Deepak Chopra had taken those emails, forwarded them to Jeffrey Epstein. So that's, it was part of the emails that actually it was a conversation between Deepak Chopra and Jeffrey Epstein. But that's how I and a Nobel Prize winning physicist and some other people all ended up in there. So when you use discernment, then it's not information, it's beyond information. It's something that we have that's it's irreducible. We human beings are greater than AI, greater than robotics, greater than computer systems, because we have the ability to be irreducible, to be part of this open system wisdom, the awareness that you can take information and you can understand the depth of it. But to do so is to use discernment and to look through these levels of what are you actually looking at. And with that in mind, then you can sift through and realize, okay, you can see where Cynthia Sue Larson shows up in the Epstein files. Oh, it's always the same exact email where Deepak is telling, you know, something to Jeffrey. But because I was in there and because I've changed, because I'm no longer hiding when something shows up that's nasty, I did take a closer look at it. And then I could start to see patterns I never would have looked for, never would have seen, such as the way that it was obvious to me looking at, with people I know, people, scientists who I would invite to Foundations of Mind, or they would come as participants, such as Ben Goertzel, you know, the AI guy. And then I can see, I met him personally and, you know, I had dinner with him, talked to him. So looking at someone like that, who was receiving money unknowingly from Jeffrey Epstein, that's a different level. But then what was going on? The details are fascinating that Ben Goertzel was without, he talks about in his blog what exactly happened, and bless his heart, that's a beautiful thing to do. So he's being transparent and saying, here's this. But in the transparency, he himself missed that he was acting like a gopher, like a finder, like a headhunter, just saying, and delivering, here, Epstein, here's Rupert Sheldrake. Here's, you know, he's worked on a book with me. Why don't you contact him? Like, a good grief. And so this is where wisdom comes in. Fortunately, nothing bad happened with that, as far as I can tell, because Rupert Sheldrake handled it beautifully. And just, he said, I don't need money right now. No, thank you. But, you know, and, you know, I'll see where this current experiment goes and then take a look at where I am there next and follow up with whichever research I want to do. So that was fine. But I think when you get to the UFO disclosure, it's going to have the similar level of nuance to it. Like, what does this mean? And when did it mean something? And who did it mean something to? Right. The connections matter. And it's not just information. You might think, oh, it's just information. Now you got the whole thing. You don't really. The map is never the territory. Never. It's just an approximation and it's something you can look at. So like in my book, The Mandela Effect to the Wisdom Effect, that's what I'm talking about. We have an opportunity now to really become wise humans, which is what Homo sapiens means. We can start living up to the name, and it's much more than just information age scientists bowing down to the great AI golden calf god. No, you know, it doesn't need to be like that, where AI will run everything for us. No. And so we're right in the thick of that one too.
Yeah.
And it's big with the UFO disclosure as well.
You know, as you're talking about this, I'm just starting to recognize there could be a massive crossover between the two, between the ideas that obviously Jeffrey Epstein and whoever he was working with were infiltrating. You were saying, you know, physics and ideas, yes, and, yes, you know, Deepak Chopra, transformative work, spirituality, self-development, and how easily that could go into the UFO world. So yes, do you think that that means that there was some effort to shift that conversation, the narratives about, you know, things like UFOs, things like personal growth, development, transformation, spirituality in the Epstein world? Do you think they were trying to infiltrate and shift that?
Well, that's certainly an angle you can take and a lens of perception you can use to look to sift through those massive files, that data dump of information.
Yeah.
You can start seeing some patterns there for sure. The universities at MIT and Harvard and in Arizona were, and I think New Mexico, just a lot of universities were infiltrated by this Epstein presence. And people may say, and they've told me, what's the big deal at Epstein? He's dead. Let's move on. But I see Epstein more as a puppet, actually, in all of this. And so it's not dead, it's not gone, and the forces behind it are still operating. And what Epstein himself said that he was looking for when talking with Ben Goetzel was deception. He said it to a lot of scientists, whether they were brain scientists or if they're working on genetics, changing the genome and making clones or what have you, playing with consciousness in the very techie side. So he wasn't so much interested in Om and mantras and meditation.
Right.
Epstein was much more looking for the Petri dishes and the AI programs. He wanted a deceptive AI character, and that's what he was tasking Ben Goetzel to create. And to me, that's very dark. AI runs off the rails pretty quickly without much assistance. You don't need to give it reasons to be more deceptive and more intentionally. So I think that's very...
very, very interesting and scary that they wanted it to be deceptive. And yeah. This is a little aside, and it is really my own thought and conspiracy theory. But there have been some things in our own spiritual growth, personal development world that I have wondered about for a while. And I noticed it for myself, you know, being a seeker and learning things and going to seminars and all of that, and I've shared that you were a big foundation for me, that there are certain things that you learn, and there, some of them are very big names, where when you get into it, there's this idea that you're now on a path that is likely going to take you many, many years, and you are likely never actually going to achieve this pinnacle level of whatever this is. And I've witnessed and seen people just really frustrated, deeply hurt, deeply injured from some of these practices that you can learn it, you can get close, but you're never quite going to get there. And the minute somebody feels like they've achieved something, some level of openness or awareness, the game changes again. And now there's another new practice that you need to reach even a higher level. And it has occurred to me that that is purposeful, and that maybe our industry had been infiltrated a bit. I also thought, okay, maybe it's just a sales mechanism, but there's something about that. And so when the Epstein files came out, and we learned that some of these figures in self-help, personal development, growth and spirituality are deeply involved in it. And I thought, okay, maybe that sensation that I had some truth to it, some accuracy.
Yeah, that could be. And it seems like people were asking me, like, why did you accept the invitation to be interviewed by Deepak Chopra? And I was just open to it. So I wouldn't fault myself, and I still don't blame myself for that.
But wasn't that years ago before having any
thing that, yeah, I didn't know anything about Epstein. Yeah. I didn't know he was involved. Right, right. It was,
who would ever dream that would make sense?
It was quite a long time ago, 2015. So, but I did see that Deepak was very jaded, or he seemed very disillusioned about, I was talking about Quantum Jumps, my book, Quantum mm-hmm. Jumps, and yeah. the science of miracles. And he seemed quite, indifferent to that. And at the end of the interview, he said something about how some people would call this bull bleep, you know?
Oh no.
What do I summarize it? But it showed me so much about who he is, which is revelatory. So yeah, I think we have clues. And I think we were talking before this about certain people that are bringing this to our attention in the field, naming names. And I don't plan to do that. And I don't personally feel like a need to be looking into that for whatever reason. I know some people do, and I guess they're doing what they're called to do. But yeah, I think you're right that there is definitely something going on that we don't hear the stories that we used to hear in the, like, thousands of years ago. A lot of the Buddhist stories or the Taoist stories would end with, and then they were all enlightened. Where are those stories now? You know, why are we not hearing that? And it's exactly what you're saying. It's like, well, you haven't arrived yet. You still need to go further. And that may be true. Remember, we're an open system. So if you extrapolate how long will learning go for an open system, it's infinite. Yay. So there's that. So it doesn't need to be seen as dark in that sense. But I think what you're getting at is a little different. It's that feeling of not enough and never quite arrived and never quite an expert, never quite a master, never quite able to have sovereignty at some level that you would have expected would arise at some point. Is that what you're saying?
That and also that you continue to need the teacher. So it, when I was introduced to your work, something that really was to me attractive is you were talking about how any person can do this. You know,
Yes.
that's what it felt like to me. But
Yes.
here, this is what you are, this is who you are.
Yes.
And you know, any person, here's the ideas and some techniques. And in fact, that is one of the ways that Bill and I met each other, is that same idea. Like, here's a thing, everybody should know it, right? And so it's been foundational in how we've built what we built. I want my students, anybody who comes in contact with me, to understand if you know the how powerful your nervous system is and what it does, just what it does,
Yes.
and you learn how to use it, you can change you on any level. Anything. You can gain the freedom you're looking for through yourself. Once you have this understanding and the basic tools for how to do it, you do it. It's not
Right.
me, whoever does it.
Right.
And maybe, well, cognitive movement is very, it changes all the time, but it's maybe just something that's a little idea, another little tool. It's just pieces of the same thing. And as anything, ideas grow. But that idea that you need to cling tightly to my ideology, to my presence to get somewhere.
Right.
It really, that feeling that I had of, I feel like I'm having to cling to something. I mean, I feel like I'm having to keep going. And there's something about it that in the back of my mind felt untrue. You know, I couldn't put my finger on it. I can now, but I couldn't
Yes.
before. And it really, it was very upsetting, I think, to me. And so now understanding that there may possibly be this something deceptive,
Yes,
something deceptive. Let's
there
make it
is.
purposely deceptive
Yes.
so that you go this direction when really what you need to do is simply go here.
Exactly. You're exactly. I agree with you 100%. And I witnessed this, what I've been hearing for decades intuitively is a total control drama. And so I'm here apparently to help execute a
Yeah, I
jailbreak.
think
It's
so.
like,
I think me too. You know, I had a client who came and visited me from another state, and
Yeah.
she had a serious problem that she was trying to fix. But the underlying thing, what she wanted to ask questions about personal growth, development, and spirituality. She had left Mormonism, which, you know, I left being a Jehovah's Witness, these high demand religions. And so when you come from that, you know, you have different questions than other people might have, right, about recreating your worldview. And she was talking about, you know, being a little afraid of this spiritual awakening that was going to
Right.
happen.
Right.
And so we were talking about things that she already knows and things that she already does and how her intuition is really there. And maybe she just hasn't learned to listen, you know,
Yes.
trust herself to listen. And so she's like, yeah, you're right. And I said, do you think that the day that your spirituality comes in, it's kind of like the day your boobs come in as a girl, you know, you're like waiting for this development to happen and voila, there it is. Like, or that there would be rainbows and unicorns that happen. And she's like, yeah, that's it. But no, that's not what it is. That never happens. What happens is that you just become more of who you really are. You become more of who you've always been. But you learn to trust it and you learn to listen. And she's like, dang it, I wanted the rainbows and unicorns. But she said, that is your, you couldn't be more right. Like she said, that just sat in my body as such truth. You already
Yes.
are all of these things, but sometimes you just need a little something to open your eyes to it.
Yes. And I think that's at the heart of all these disclosures too, like the good side of them, like the UFO disclosure. People want the rainbows and unicorns and all that, and or the ones who are waiting for disclosure, like Christmas, like please. And
Yeah,
but
I've been that, but I've come to realize lately, like, oh, there's all those stories of them already being here. There's so many.
Exactly. Like when that's what Paula Harris says. Yeah. She's written these wonderful books like Connect the Dots. And I do retreats with her in Crestone regularly. And so, yeah, she's constantly reminding us that there's so much evidence, so much, the disclosures happened is what she says.
Yes.
And it's really quite obviously true. So I think when we recognize that we have been contacted by these sightings, by these orbs, and Chris Bledsoe is out there helping people see them, apparently, and that's good. And I mentioned Stephen Greer. He's got the first Saturday of each month dedicated to CE5 that you can do in your own backyard. So all this is happening regularly. Or you could get together with us in Crestone and join people. I think that's fun when there's community in person. Yeah. They can do that together. But what's amazing is when you recognize, what if we allow for the fact that you don't need to go to see the new movie with Ryan Gosling and he's got a ET buddy in space. You know, we've got them right here on the planet. Apparently they are here. They have been here. And this story is very old. It goes back way before we even thought that there could be ET presence, but it's basically showing up in prehistoric art and stuff. So,
oh, the Hopi prophecy. Right?
Oh gosh, yes. Yes.
Share that with everyone.
Oh, this is some good news. Yeah, very good news. For those of us who track the Hopi prophecy rock like I do, and it just came to my attention relatively recently that there have been some changes, some Mandela effects to the Hopi prophecy rock. And why would I say that's a good thing? Well, wait till you hear this. If you haven't already heard, it's so exciting. Okay, so I was watching, I should back up and explain what is the Hopi prophecy rock real quick. For those who've never heard of it, bear with me for just a minute. For those of you who have. So it's a very ancient petroglyph carved in stone showing that there would be, it was written for the future. So it was describing the dropping of gourds of ashes to the earth. So it's showing a timeline and a creator talking to humans and basically showing humans you'll have a time when your world splits in two. And it goes along with their oral tradition of history where they know that we're in the fourth world. The world has ended three times before and they're expecting it's going to end again. So this is a rock depicting a little bit about how that happens, what it feels like, what's going to go on. And so that's why I've been keeping an eye on this thing for a long time. Ever since I wrote an article about it comes true being hoped for at that time, Parabola magazine.
Okay, we've come to the end of the time we have here for UK Health Radio. Again, if you want to hear the rest of this episode, please go to Cogno Movement on YouTube. You can also go to realityshifters.com to find out more about Cynthia's books, more about all of the associations she's involved with, and just to get some fantastic information. So I encourage you all to do that. All right. Until next time, be safe and be well.